place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Good to be with you on this Thursday edition of the show. The rumors and rumblings across the NFL are starting to heat up as we near free agency, which kicks off next week. There are rumors of trades and players moving and released players. It's all filling up the news right now, and so we're going to have a lot to talk about in the coming weeks. But today I want to mention a couple of things that are Bills relevant regarding some free agents and some rumored interest that the Bills have and some known interest that the Bills have, as well as I wanted to give you another seven-round mock draft scenario, this time where the Bills pick a wide receiver in the first round. We did yesterday. We did a scenario where the Bills went defensive tackle at 9. We did another scenario where they went offensive tackle at 9. And I ran out of time, and so today I wanted to give you a scenario where the Bills went with a wide receiver at number 9 and kind of talk you through that and see what that could look like should the Bills go in that direction. But let's start things off with some of the free agent information. The first is reported by Jason LaCanfora, who's not always been the most consistently reliable when it comes to information, but he has linked the Bills to Carolina Panthers free agent offensive tackle Darrell Williams, who he also mentioned the New York Giants have interest. And so both the Giants, with Dave Gettleman being the general manager that drafted Darrell Williams, as well as Brandon Bean, both of those guys have familiarity with Darrell Williams. Of course, Sean McDermott as well, having coached on that staff. And so yet again, another Carolina player that's rumored to be interested, rumored to have interest from the Buffalo Bills. And so it's something we need to address. I think that it is legitimate and it makes a lot of sense because the Bills have a big need at right tackle right now with Jordan Mills as a free agent and a guy that probably the Bills want to upgrade over. You can see them targeting a right tackle and wanting to get a veteran in that spot and really build this thing in front of Josh Allen to make sure he's got a good offensive line. And the thing is, like, just like some of the other things we're going to talk about, as many needs as the Bills can address and fill in free agency and allow the draft to just come to them and the Bills can focus on taking good football players and not reaching for needs, I think that would be best. And so Darrell Williams, he started off pretty good in terms of getting some early playing time, and he really emerged in 2017 having his best season. He was a fourth-round pick in 2015, and it was really exciting in 2017 because you thought going into 2018, which was going to be a contract for a year for him after having such a good season, he would put everything together again and really put himself in position to have to get a big deal. And that didn't happen because unfortunately he dislocated his kneecap and tore his MCL early in the 2018 season, which pretty much derailed him for almost the entire season. He only played in 50 snaps. And so what I like about Darrell Williams is that I think he's at least an average right tackle in the NFL. And I think that's okay. I think you have to remember you can't have a star player at every single position, not in this NFL, not with the salary cap. But I think he can be a reliable, solid right tackle, and that's something that the Bills need. I got into some Twitter discussion over Darrell Williams, and Pro Football Focus was mentioned. And so I want to mention his grades year by year. And keep in mind, every single year of his career, he was graded at average to above average in terms of the way he fit into Pro Football Focus grading scale. In 2015, he was a 68. In 2016, 67.5. 2017, his best season, 78. And 2018, only in 15 snaps, he had a 64.9. And so how does that compare to Jordan Mills? Is this an upgrade to Jordan Mills? Well, in Pro Football Focus mind, it absolutely is. Let's go look over Jordan Mills' last four seasons and compare them to Darrell Williams. 2015, Darrell Williams, 68. Jordan Mills, 58. 2016, Darrell Williams, 67.5. Jordan Mills, 61. 2017, Darrell Williams, 78. Jordan Mills, 62. 2018, Darrell Williams, 64.9. Jordan Mills, 56. So this is definitely an upgrade for the Bills. It's probably going to cost them more than it would to have Jordan Mills back, But he could, you know, he's an ascending player. I really like that there was growth. He was illustrating that he was getting better and played his best football in 2017, and all expectations were for him to have a great 2018. So I think this could be an opportunity for the Bills to get what could end up being a quality starting right tackle at somewhat of a discount had he played all of 2018. And so might be a bidding war between him and Dave Gettleman. You know, Dave Gettleman's going to want not only a player he drafted, but you know he loves big guys and offensive linemen. And so you've kind of have the assistant GM for Carolina bidding against the lead GM in Carolina for a player that they both want. And so I think that says something that both of the parties that are known to be interested in Darrell Williams are the parties that drafted him and have been around him, and they want him to be part of the equation in their new teams. So I'm all about Darrell Williams as a free agent signing at right tackle. If that happens, we'll talk more about it. The other player that we know the Bills have interest in because they brought him in for a visit is Kevin Johnson, the Texans cornerback. He visited with the Bills on Wednesday. He's off to Cleveland for a visit there on Thursday. Both teams that can use a veteran corner in the secondary having interest so far in Kevin Johnson. Johnson played for the Bills secondary coach John Butler for three of his first four NFL seasons, and he was released just a few days ago. He was due a $9 million salary from the Texans, which could be completely voided with his release because Houston picked up the fifth-year club option on Kevin Johnson. And so the big thing with Johnson, he's a former first round pick, taken number 16 overall, and he's had some good flashes throughout his career, but there's some injuries that you need to be mindful of. And so let's work through that, and then I'll talk to you about why I think he's a good idea for the Bills. In 2015, he was a first round pick, again, 16 overall. He played in 16 games. He started 10. So he got early playing time. He did okay. In 2016, he played in 6 games. Started 3 of them. He had a broken foot, which cost him a lot of time. 2017, he won the starting job going into the season, but he sprained his MCL early on. It limited him to just 12 games, only starting 4. And in 2018, now remember, after 2017, going into 2018, the Texans picked up the fifth-year option. They wanted him back. They wanted him to be a part of the equation moving forward. They saw enough there to pick up that fifth-year option. And so they picked it up, and unfortunately, he had multiple concussions starting in week one, and he missed the entire season. So not great when it comes to injuries, but it's been reported that he's fully healthy and ready to compete in 2019. What I really like about Kevin Johnson is I've mentioned several times that I think the Bills need to go get a veteran cornerback to challenge Levi Wallace. Not that I don't think Levi Wallace should be the starting corner. Not that I don't believe Sean McDermott wants Levi Wallace to be the starting corner, but there's no way that you go in to the season responsibly and say, Levi Wallace, and that's it. You've got to challenge him. You've got to make sure he's focused and he continues to grow and ascend as a player. And I draw this, you know, very similar parallel to Matt Milano, who flashed as a rookie and you thought he'd be the starter a year or two and play really well and become a big part of the defense. But the entire time, Ramon Humber was right there with him. He was splitting reps. There was even times where he was quote-unquote benched, where Milano was quote-unquote benched in training camp last year in preseason to give Ramon Humber time. And really, it was never that his starting job was ever in jeopardy. It's just about making sure that he's focused and knows what's at stake and keeps his iron very, very sharp by having a guy like Ramon Humber right there pushing him and challenging him. Same type of thing here with Kevin Johnson. I think he can do that same thing for Levi Wallace. And look, the injuries are concerning. Ideally, the Bills, you know, Levi Wallace decidedly wins that job and he's your starting cornerback, and Kevin Johnson's a depth guy that plays on special teams. So, you know, I don't think there's a lot of risk. He's not going to get paid $9 million a season. He doesn't put together the resume of a player that deserves a big-time contract. But to fit that role of a veteran guy that gives them depth on the boundary at corner and challenges Levi Wallace, I think it would be a very worthwhile signing, and it's something I'd like to see the Bills do. And obviously his familiarity with John Butler, the Bills' current secondary coach, will give them a good insight into what the player is and how he can fit the Bills' locker room. All right, so let's move on now to the mock draft portion of this podcast, where I want to give you yet another scenario of what the Bills draft could look like, all 7 picks, if they were to go with a wide receiver at number 9 overall. And so I've got the mock draft machine loaded up from thedraftnetwork.com. And in this draft, I'm going to work through it live with you. I don't know what's going to happen. But I am sitting here with the 9th pick, and the first 8 picks were Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Juwan Taylor, Devin White, Quinnen Williams, Rashawn Gary, Kyler Murray, and Montez Sweat. And so the Bills are up with number 9, and at number 9, DK Metcalf is there. DK Metcalf right now is the only receiver that I feel comfortable with taking in the first round, and he would be well worth the number 9 pick in the draft. And so I'm going to pull the trigger. That gives us the scenario here that we're looking for in terms of what it could look like if the Bills draft a wide receiver in the first round. All right, so we're coming back up here. The simulator's rolling. We're getting to pick number 40. It's our turn. And so I'm going to look at the other critical needs on the roster, defensive tackle. I'm going to look at offensive tackle, and I'm going to look at tight end and see what options I like and where I think we could wait potentially. Now, I'm looking at offensive tackle, and this is a lot like what I did the other day with when the Bills went defensive tackle in the first round. Yadni Kajuse from West Virginia is about the only starting caliber player that I see left on the board. And so that's a strong consideration. I'm going to look at the defensive tackles because that's another position that depletes very quickly. There's Jerry Tillery's on the board, and this would be a player that I'd really like for the Bills to get. And I thought he played his best football at Notre Dame this past season. I think he's got great traits. So that's very much in consideration, as well as the fact that I think there's a big drop-off here after Jerry Tillery when it comes to the next tier of defensive tackles. At tight end, I'm guessing Irv Smith. Yeah, Irv Smith, Jay Sternberger, Dax Raymond, Cahal Waring, Josh Oliver. There's plenty of tight ends that I'm interested in. So I'm going to turn my attention to defensive tackle or offensive tackle. Since I went defense and offense in the first round with DK Metcalf, I'm going to go with the defensive tackle here in Jerry Tillery, give the Bills that three technique that they can develop and groom and be that important penetration style player that's needed alongside Star Lotulelei there on the defensive line. So the simulator's rolling. We're going to get to pick 74 where the Bills pick in the third round. And let's see who's available. It's now our turn. We've addressed wide receiver. We've addressed defensive tackle. And I'm going to look at offensive tackle and see if there's anything worth investing in. Oh, I don't like these options. I really don't. See, this is where it gets challenging. If I don't get that offensive tackle early, I get very underwhelmed by who's available. I mean, the names that pop somewhat, Bobby Evans from Oklahoma, I think he's a pretty swift mover. Don't necessarily love him. I don't really see him as a potential early starter or anything like that. Let's see interior offensive line. Nate Davis, Drew. There's some options here that I like. Connor McGovern, Ben Powers. There's a lot of options here at interior offensive line. So I could do that. Let's see a tight end. I can wait on these tight ends. Okay, I think the best value here is that interior offensive line. I'm going to go with Connor McGovern from Penn State. He's an athletic interior lineman, a guy that I feel comfortable with being able to move. He can zone block. He can gap block. And his mobility is very, very good in terms of translating to pass pro and getting out in space. So we addressed the offensive line. We just didn't address it at offensive tackle. Maybe the Bills signed Daryl Williams in this scenario, and we could focus our attention to the interior. So here I am in the fourth round, pick number 112 overall. I still haven't done anything at tight end. I haven't done anything at running back. Justice Hill is there. And remember that first scenario the other day where I was working through this and I missed out on Justice Hill and I was kind of pissed about that. And I'm not sure I want that to happen again. So I'm going to go ahead and get Justice Hill, the running back from Oklahoma State. He's that dynamic type back that I think the Bills can snatch up in the middle rounds, give them a receiving threat, a guy that can challenge the boundary on outside runs, really has really interesting ability to cut and make dynamic plants and drives off his feet and make people miss in space. He's kind of like an escape wizard when he's stuck in tight quarters where you don't think he's going to be able to get out of a situation. He's dead to rights. Justice Hill has a really creative ability to get out of those situations. All right, so now we're the Bills' second fourth-round pick, number 131. We have a wide receiver, interior defensive line, interior offensive line, and running back. Looking over the tight ends, let's get a tight end here. I like some of these options. I'm going to go with Foster Moreau. He's from LSU. He tested extremely well at the NFL Scouting Combine. He was really good at the Senior Bowl. He was a little underused at LSU, but I like his upside as a balanced player, as both a receiver and a blocker, and I think that he can step in, and I think the Bills will probably sign a veteran tight end. You have Jason Kroom, and you have Foster Moreau, and I think that's probably the best tight end room we've seen for the Bills in a while. All right, so we're back up here in the fifth round, pick number 147, and we got to make a decision here. I've kind of got at least one player at all the critical needs, and so I'm going to go back to the wide receiver spot here and see if maybe there's a slot guy that I like. And Hunter Renfrow is here. Stanley Morgan Jr. is here. Terry Godwin's here. I got options. I might wait on wide receiver. Let me look at edge. That's another position that I think is very important for the Bills to, we've talked about this, past this season, the only edge rusher on the team that's under contract is Trent Murphy. And there's no way you're going to field a good defense in the NFL with your lead pass rusher on the edge being Trent Murphy. So there's a need for the Bills to start adding some pieces right now to start building things next year. And I'm looking at these edge rushers, and I like Malik Kearney from North Carolina. He was really productive this past season, and he actually was productive last season as well. He showed at the Shrine Game, the East-West Shrine Game, I thought he showed a lot of nuance and different ways he knew how to beat offensive linemen. And I think there's a decent amount of athleticism there. And so for a mid-round edge, I get excited about Malik Kearney. All right, so I'm excited that I was able to do that. That was good. I'm back up here with the Bills' second fifth-round pick, number 158 overall. And we got to make another decision. Is this where I go back to that wide receiver spot and think about Hunter Renfrow? I think I'm going to. I think that you know, you think about Brian Daboll. He had Wes Welker. You know how important it is for him to have that slot. They use so many different guys there. Jeremy Curley, Ray McLeod, Isaiah McKenzie. And I think that this gives, you know, Hunter Renfrow is like the dream slot receiver, a guy that's just going to get open. He's going to catch a football. He's not going to stretch the field or anything like that. But I really like what he can do in terms of you put him on an option route with a slot corner or a linebacker. He's going to get open every single time. And so I like that idea there to go ahead and get the slot. So now I've went wide receiver, defensive tackle, guard, running back, tight end, edge, wide receiver. Maybe another offensive lineman here. I'm up here in the sixth round. Is there a developmental offensive tackle that I like? Not really. I don't like these offensive tackles, man. This is where it gets tough. I'm going to go with Tyler Jones from NC State. He played left tackle for NC State, has good mobility, thought he was a good player at the Shrine Game. Gives him the Bills a guy that I think could play guard if he doesn't work out at tackle. He's a good mover. He's long. And I think, you know, we're in the sixth round here. So a developmental offensive tackle, I think Tyler Jones would be a good pick in that spot. So the Bills have a couple seventh-round picks, which we're going to get to here right now. And all right, we're on the clock. I've been a fan of doubling down on running backs. Am I going to do it again? We'll see. Let's see if there's another edge or defensive tackle. I don't like these edges. I don't like these pass rushers available. Let's see interior defensive line. See, the interior defensive line, you feel like it's kind of set in this scenario. Like Star Latulele, Jordan Phillips, Harrison Phillips, and now I've also added Jerry Tillery. So I think that's probably your four. Is it realistic to pick a fifth and think that you're going to get a rosterable player here just based on the competition? That's tough. And I really don't like these names. Let's look at linebacker. Is there anything at linebacker I like here? I do. I do like this option at linebacker. Let's go with Khalil Hodge from Buffalo, who's available here. He's a player that made a ton of tackles over the last few years. I think that'll translate well to special teams. He was the leader of the defense. He made all the calls. He was, you know, really important. I got a chance to speak with him. I got a chance to speak with the head coach of Buffalo when I was at the Shrine Game. And I think that he'd be a good depth option, a guy that can really help on the special teams units. All right, so I got the last pick for the Bills here, and I'm going to go ahead and get a punter. Let's go with Mitch Wisnowski from Utah, and you guys have heard me talk about the need for the Bills to get this punting thing right, and we'll go ahead and get it right here in the seventh round with Mitch Wisnowski from Utah, who I think is the best punter in the draft. He is very athletic as well, and I like that about him, and I got a chance to see him punt at the Senior Bowl, And I think he's very, very consistent. So I think this can give the Bills a long-term answer at punter, which would be wonderful. All right, so let's work through this. I like this draft a lot. I don't know if you guys do. Most of you guys, from the feedback I got in DMs and tweets yesterday, was that you guys liked the first one that I did more than the second one. So let's see how this one stacks up. I went DK Metcalf, wide receiver, in the first round. Second round, Jerry Tillery, defensive tackle, Notre Dame. Third round, Connor McGovern, guard from Penn State. Fourth round, Justice Hill, running back, Oklahoma State. The other fourth round pick, Foster Moreau, tight end from LSU. The fifth round pick, Malik Kearney, edge from North Carolina. Sixth round pick, Hunter Renfrow, wide receiver, Clemson. And then the two seventh round picks, Tyler Jones, offensive tackle, NC State. And Khalil Hodge, linebacker from Buffalo, the Bills' last pick in the draft. So I know I made the picks, and you guys don't really get a chance to respond to me while I'm talking right here, but I like what I was able to do here. I think this is a good mix of players that are at positions that the Bills need with good value. I think I was forward thinking very much with these selections, and I think there's a lot of upside. And so I guess you would expect that if you were making the picks. I kind of feel like Brandon Bean when he's talking about his draft picks the next day or after he makes them. Of course he likes them because he made them. I kind of feel that way right now. So I like this scenario a lot. We'll see how similar it is to what the Bills ultimately do. But I wanted to take some time today and give you one more scenario, this time with the wide receiver, before we get into the free agency stuff, which is going to dominate our discussion in the coming days. So thanks so much for listening, guys. Would appreciate you hitting that subscribe button. I would appreciate it more if you would actually share the podcast, retweet it, share it, tell somebody about what we're doing. Help me build this thing. It's going really well. Yesterday was the most listened to episode so far. And so I was a little skeptical because I didn't know if you guys would want to hear me kind of like talk through that. Maybe I thought it was boring, but no, you guys were great. You guys listened to it a ton. So thanks so much for all the support on that. Leave the review if you're enjoying this. Leave that 5-star review and some written words. That's always really appreciated. It helps tell people more about the podcast and encourages people to listen. So I really, really appreciate that. We'll be back again for you tomorrow. And until then, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.